Well, if we were reading this letter in the first century, we would have something of a shock with the way that Paul begins his letter, because he begins with, in my translation, it talks about a servant, but the original word would have been more like a slave. He talks about being a slave of Jesus Christ, his Lord. There were many slaves in Rome, those who had been bought and owned by their master, who were called to give obedience, unwavering obedience and devotion to them. But the goal of slaves was to become free people. And here was Paul, who was a Roman citizen, well educated, who but for the gospel would have had his freedom, coming from a prestigious background, identifying as being a slave or a servant of Jesus. Paul knew that he had been bought at a price, the price of Jesus' blood on the cross, and he knew that meant that he should give unwavering obedience and devotion to Jesus, his Lord and his Saviour. He also identifies as an apostle, one who is sent, the idea that he has been commissioned to go on a mission and share the good news of Jesus, set apart for the work that God had called him to spread the good news of Jesus of God far and wide. Paul speaks about the gospel of God. And that's maybe because in the New Testament or in the first century, the word gospel was a fairly commonly used word. It meant good news or good tidings or a good message. Often people would use it as a way of when an army had been successful of sending the good news of peace and joy back to those that they served. The emperor Augustus was referred to as the gospel because he had brought peace and established victory. Soon he was known as the Lord of the Empire. So we can see that Paul is very definitely saying here, actually this gospel of God is a different gospel. It is the gospel. This is the true Lord and Saviour that my letter is going to be speaking about. There is a new Lord on the scene. This gospel of God is an announcement of fulfillments of a much larger story that can be seen in Scripture. Actually, if you go back to last week, you might remember it's the same story that Jesus unpacked for those disciples on the Emmaus Road. Paul is at pains to point out to his readers that this gospel is not just some new idea. It is rooted in the pages and the prophecies and the promises of Scripture. God's blessing being released, every promise fulfilled in the person of Jesus the Messiah, and God releasing his blessing out to the nations, which will be through his people blessing others. Now, we might be familiar with the phrase, all roads lead to Rome, where for me, all of the parts of Scripture, people, stories, situations, all led to Jesus for Paul. He speaks about, throughout this letter, about how the promises have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And it is through Jesus, both for those Roman Christians here in this letter, but also for us, that when we believe, we are recipients of grace. Grace is a significant part of this letter of Romans, so we'll be picking it up again and again as we go through. But Paul is really keen at the beginning of this letter to say, this is the good news, the gospel, that we have to proclaim. But today I want to focus our attention, the remainder of our time, specifically on verse 8 and to a little bit more, verse 9 and 10. Of these opening verses. Paul says this in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Here, I think, we grasp something not only of Paul's heart, but also of the saints, the people, all of those who were the, made up the church communities in Rome. So first of all, what is the priority? Well, Paul tells us, because he says, first I thank. First I thank. Paul could have started off the letter by going straight in to give this early church some indications about what they might be able to do better or differently, how they might be able to grow or spread the gospel more. But actually he doesn't. First of all, he stops and offers thanks. And I want to say that gratitude is an important part of living as a follower of Jesus. Sometimes we get so task or goal focused that we think actually we can thank God for the big things and we miss all of the smaller things that he is doing in our lives and in the church. We do give thanks for the fact that revival is happening in Lancaster and hopefully in other places in our country. But we should also give thanks for every single Christian in Lancaster University who are also being used by God. So, first of all, we need to ask ourselves, are we thankful as Christians? We've got lots to thank God for, the fact that he saved us, that he's called us, that we have got God's grace in our lives, that he values us and loves us and affirms us as we saw earlier on. We can thank God for all that he has done in and through Jesus. So first of all, can I encourage us to develop and nurture a practice of thankfulness in our lives, even in the midst of difficult and challenging and frustrating circumstances. We can constantly give thanks to God for who he is, what he's done, and what he is doing. So first of all, the priority. But second, the perception of Paul, because he gives thanks through my God through Christ Jesus. God is made personal through Jesus for Paul. But all the thanks that Paul gives is through the filter of Jesus. I believe that Paul knew that this church were who they were because of the person of Jesus. Actually, it was God's work that was happening, not the fantastic Christians. They were great Christians in Rome, but actually it's an acknowledgement that it is God working through them that actually brings the fruit and the fruitfulness. And that is a really good thing for us to remember. As we give thanks for revival, as we think about those churches that are growing spiritually and physically, as we think about the things that God is doing in our lives, it is about the things that God is doing and not the things that we might feel that we get right. I do want to say that actually it is good to celebrate the things that God is doing in our lives. I think sometimes as Christians we feel a bit embarrassed about that. But we should give thanks when there's healings and things happening where God is at work, but always remembering and giving God the credit. Which leads us on to our next P. You can see they're all P's today. I don't really often do this, do they? Praise. Actually, Paul then stops and gives some praise to these Christians in Rome for their faith. It was a faith that my version says was proclaimed throughout the whole world. In another version, it says it was spoken of throughout the whole world, and I like that version. But actually, just stop for a moment and realize what Paul is saying, that throughout the world, there was no social media, no television, there was no telephones. Throughout the world, this gospel is still being spoken at. The faith of these Christians is still being spoken or proclaimed. Even more amazing that this was the most challenging of places to be a follower of Jesus. Rome was ultimately where Peter and Paul met their death for following Jesus. Christians were regularly fed to the lions in Rome. But actually, these Christians were still on fire and they were still faithful, even in the most difficult places of serving Jesus. Not only did they believe and have a head knowledge, but they had a heart knowledge and they actively looked to share their faith in the places where God put them. They were missionally minded as a church, but individuals looked to share their faith to an unbelieving world. Maybe they were emulating the people that first shared the gospel with them. But I also wonder whether they remembered the words of Jesus in Acts 1:8. I don't think it's any mistake that we are looking at this verse in Romans 1:8, and I think they're emulating Acts 1:8, when Jesus says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Acts 1:8, for me, is put into practice in Romans 1:8. So it challenges us to think about, I'm going to class it as 1:8 Christians. Are we 1:8 Christians? About having received God's power and then looking for opportunities to share our faith and be fruitful for God's kingdom. So the priority, the perception, the praise, and also the purpose. Kind of Paul veers off, kind of slightly off course on this verse 9. He'll do this often, so let me warn you, in Romans he goes off on a little bit of a tangent. But actually he reminds us that in all of the work that he does for God, he has a very clear purpose: to preach the gospel and to share Jesus. We may not be called to preach the gospel in the way that maybe me and others are called to, but actually God will have given each one of us a calling in our lives if we follow him. That calling sometimes changes in different seasons. So sometimes it's good to stop and ask, what is God's purpose in my life in this season? It might mean seeking out a purpose. It might be reviewing a purpose, or it might be continuing with a purpose. But actually, we are called to be people who fulfill God's purposes in our lives. And so it's good to stop and ask ourselves occasionally, what's God equipped me for and called me to? What's my purpose in this season? And lastly, in verse 10, not surprisingly, Paul finishes with prayer. He tells us that he prays continually for all of the churches, church people, church members in these little communities in Rome, who are called to be God's holy people there. But he also prays that one day he might be able to go and visit them, because he's been stopped on, seems, numerous occasions. If you read the further few verses, you'll see that Paul continually wants to go and see these Christians, but he's stopped. But actually, that does not stop him from praying. It seems sometimes, isn't it, that God closes doors, or when we're pushing them, they're not open. But can I encourage us to continue to keep praying, even in those difficult and stubborn situations where we can't see what God is doing? We need to continue praying as Paul did, and in order that we might be those who pray unceasingly. So let me put this last slide up. Now the next slide, that would be good, Nigel. And just have a look at this list. And just think for a moment, where is God prompting me through his Spirit? Which one of these do I want to take away and reflect on and spend some time unpacking? Is it having a priority of thankfulness in my life for all that God has done and is doing? Is it about seeing where God is at work and then having the courage to join him? Is it about looking for opportunities to share our faith this week, or seeking or reviewing God's purpose for my life in this season? Or maybe we are called to keep on praying, even if we are waiting for God. So which one of those things will we take away and ask God to continue to develop and grow and nurture in our lives? Let's just spend a moment just reflecting on that in quietness and in prayer before I continue to lead us in prayer.